tax planning looks a little different this year. A lot of stuff looks a little different this year. Many Canadians are going to have to consider how to factor in the fact that they have received federal pandemic relief benefits and how that's going to affect their filing. John Waters is the Vice President and Director of Tax Consulting Services for BMO Private Wealth. He joins me now to talk about some tax planning tips.
Hello, Bruce. How are you?
I am well. Many people have been on the receiving end of government benefits over the course of the last year for good reason. Tell us about how that will affect tax planning this year.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's an important consideration this year, especially obviously with the pandemic relief. Probably the main program that people are aware of is the Canada Emergency Response Benefit. So this is, of course, for people that stopped working because of COVID. Maybe they lost a job, they were sick or quarantined or forced to stay home, look after kids who were not going to school, things like that. So those amounts, you could receive up to $500 per week for 28 weeks during March to September. And the key thing to remember with this is that this amount is taxable. And so CRA is going to issue you a tax slip for 2020 that you would have to include when filing your tax return. But the one other thing to remember is that unlike employment income, when these amounts were received, there was no tax withheld at source. So depending on the marginal tax rate, which of course is a function of other sources of income and deductions and credits, you may actually owe tax when you file your return in April on these amounts. So I guess the key message is to start thinking about that now, start planning for that. And if you do need to put money aside to pay for that tax, good idea just to be prepared.
There were some additional programs announced later in the year, and the government had the foresight to withhold some tax on the Canada Recovery Benefit. That's the one for principally, you know, gig economy workers and people who wouldn't qualify for traditional EI. Tell us about those and how the tax treatment will work.
Yeah, so much the same as the CERB. And that, as you pointed out, that program was largely to replace the CERB when it ended for people especially that weren't eligible for EI. So it's much like the CERB, but the main difference, there will be tax withheld, or there is being taxed withheld on those payments, but the rate is only at 10%. So again, a relatively small amount, and your tax rate may ultimately exceed that. So again, for any amounts that you receive for 2020, there may be some additional tax owing when you filed in the new year.
People who were collecting those benefits were not flush, almost without exception. And if they weren't able to get their feet back under them financially, they could well be in a position where they can't repay the tax that is now required on the CERB in particular. Take us through what happens. So you file your taxes, there is tax owing, and there just isn't money available to pay. What should people do next?
Well, I think it's largely working with the CRA to come up with some sort of a payment plan. And I think you do identify a good point there, because the thing with the CERB especially was that it was very easy to get, very simply go online and apply for it or over the phone. And there wasn't a lot of checks and balances up front. The government's focus was getting the money out to Canadians, especially early when they needed it. It was also available from two different sources, the CRA, Service Canada. And of course, there was restrictions on how much other income you could earn before that would be clawed back. So I think a lot of people might be in for a bit of a surprise, because they might not actually have met the eligibility criteria to receive these amounts. So the government is going through right now and asking some questions and doing some reviews of the amounts that were paid out, particularly under the CERB. And they've also instructed people that, you know, maybe looking at the records now, planning for next year, and looking at the criteria, think, oh, you know, maybe I didn't meet the eligibility criteria. Maybe I need to pay that back. So the government is guiding people to actually let them know before the end of the year. And that way they won't report those amounts on the tax slips. Alternatively, of course, they'll have the review programs and ultimately sort that out in the longer run. But again, something to be aware of and to plan for.
You have been working in the tax area for a couple of decades. What are some of the other big things that people should be thinking about in terms of preparation? Obviously, they can't do the whole thing. There's, you know, T3s, T4s, T-whatevers to arrive in the mail come the new year. But what are some things that people can do to get themselves set?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've always taken the perspective, and what we're talking to when we're talking to our clients, we're saying, you know, tax planning is really a year-round process. I mean, we're all used to sitting down in March and April and doing our taxes. And, you know, for most people, that's the only time of the year, other than for tax people like myself that are thinking about tax in March and April. But really, the message that we have is, you know, it's a year-round process. And especially towards the end of the year, because, you know, that the end of the calendar year is the end of the tax year. And so in terms of any deductions or credits that we'd want to apply when we file our tax return, we'd have to have those in before the end of the year. So some other things to think about, obviously tax loss selling is a popular one. And this is in a scenario when you've maybe realized capital gains earlier in the year. And you look around at your investments and you think some are down and maybe, well, if I sold these, I could realize a capital loss and that would offset the capital gains that I've realized earlier in the year. Or perhaps if it's a net capital loss, carry it back to a future year to collect some tax on net capital gains in prior years. But the critical thing there is it should be focused primarily on the investment choice and because you can't actually go in and buy that security that you sold at a loss until 30 days after. So it's critical that you're focusing on the investment perspective. But other things like, as they say, making charitable donations, medical expenses, childcare expenses, all those sorts of things need to be paid in the calendar year. For someone that's turning age 71, it's important to realize that their RSP has to be wrapped up before the end of the year, December 31st. So there may be some planning there and final contributions to make and things like that.
The charitable dynamic is really important now, perhaps more than any time in recent memory. What's your TV commercial for people making a contribution before year end? What's in it for them? I mean, they get the feel good of making a difference. What's in it for them from a tax perspective?
In terms of charitable donations, so obviously the tax receipt for any donations over $200, you'll receive tax savings at the highest rate, or actually the second highest rate, depending on your level of income. But it can work out to about 45 or 50 cents on the dollar. So certainly there's an incentive from a tax perspective. And I would also mention that for people that have a non-registered investment portfolio, there's the ability to donate securities, publicly traded securities, and if they've increased in value when you donate them, it's really treated as a sale or disposition of that security, which would normally trigger a capital gain. But in this situation, because of a tax incentive, you actually can eliminate the capital gain, the tax thereon, and still get the benefit of that donation receipt for the fair market value of those securities.
John, thank you for your insight today.
My pleasure, Bruce. Great to speak with you again.
John Waters, Vice President and Director of Tax Consulting Services for BMO Private Wealth. He argues that tax planning is a year-round process. That phrase makes me want to grab a bottle of whiskey and cry silently into my sleeve. So instead, how about we have it be a process that you either give to the professionals or focus on with great interest when the time is right. And now is that time.